Welcome to Copper Country Today, heard Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock on 97.7 The Wolf, 8 o'clock on AM 1400 WCCY, and 9 o'clock on KBR 102.3. Our program is brought to you in part by the members of the Copper Country Education Association and by the Copper Country Veterinary Clinic, proud supporters of the Copper Country Humane Society and the Keweenaw Spay and Neuter Assistance Group. You can also listen to a podcast of our program by going to the Copper Country Today page at KeweenawReport.com. In the second segment, I will be speaking with Matt Zika from the National Weather Service about the upcoming winter season. But my guest in this segment is the author of the new book, Now You Have No Excuses, Jeff Hawsworth. Thank you very much for joining me on today's program.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Currently, I am a teacher at Houghton Middle School. I teach physical education and health. I've been there about 17 years. Previously to that, I was in the military, served in the Navy as a hospital corpsman, combat medic. Joined the reserves, so I was teaching and in the reserves at the same time. Went to Iraq in 2006 and retired in 2009 and still teaching.
So what got you involved into teaching specifically the youth?
Kind of funny. It was the one job, basically, that kind of came open, and I never thought that it would work out. You know, I always saw myself as a high school teacher, but I really love what I do, and I love working with the younger kids. I feel you can make more of an impression. At least I can. So,
and now jumping onto that, to the topic of youth, and it's a huge, huge problem, not only locally but just nationally. It's just, and that's the obesity. Some people like to classify it as an epidemic. How big of an issue do you see it?
I think it's, no pun intended, but it is a huge issue. It's over the last three decades, it's grown 300%, where, you know, late 80s and 90s, it was about 5%. We're up to about 15% or more. And if you include overweight youth into that as well, it's even a more scary number. Nationally, one in three people are classified as overweight or obese, and that's amazing numbers to staggering, I guess you could say.
When there's so much involvement and so much outreach that happens, and then you do get the, for lack of a better term, stubborn side of the argument where people say, well, why do you care so much? What would be your response to that?
My response would be, you know, maybe they should care so much, because there's fitness, physical fitness, and I'm not talking about like the elite Olympic athlete, but just the general overall good health type of fitness has so much more to do with life. I mean, you can perform better at work, you're more energy, you know, all your systems, your heart works better. It's just a little bit of fitness can go a long way in every aspect of life.
From the work that you've done, is it different working with youth than it is with adults in terms of getting them started?
Yes. Adults, it's kind of funny because I'm also a personal trainer on the side. I have a business called Peace Through Strength Personal Training. And a lot of times the adults will see, oh my gosh, I've been making these mistakes all my life. Now I need to do something. And one of the things I do with the health class that I teach is to try to get the kids to realize that the things you do at 13 and 14, those are the habits that you're going to set and that you're going to continue on with. And when you're 30 and 40 and 50 years old, you know, think about how you were here. Kids don't see that, unfortunately. You know, it's, you don't know what you got until it's gone, sort of. Looking back, people, I guess it's one of the oldest sayings in the book, if I knew then what I know now. So, but it's different, but it's more of a challenge, obviously, with kids to get them to realize. But I enjoy that challenge.
Like you said, with the obesity issue, it's always been there, but it's never been this bad. What things do you think in society have contributed to it?
We've become an instant society. Everything, you know, smartphones, texting, YouTube, Facebook, it's so easy to do nothing. You know, I know kids who are excellent Madden players, don't know a thing about sports outside of whatever is on their Xbox.
I know a lot of people like that.
It's unfortunate. And it's not just kids. You know, there's a lot of, you know, I know kids in their well, people, I should say, in their 20s and 30s that are still addicted, I would say, addicted to that kind of stuff. And we've gone away from the actually get up and moving to this virtual stuff with video games and YouTube. And, you know, our society's become very instant. You can send an email to China in 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and waiting, quote unquote, forever for a cup of coffee might be 10 minutes. Everybody wants everything now. So I think that has a big part of it. Technology is great, but it's also a double-edged sword.
And in terms of, local officials, local lawmakers, including the First Lady Michelle Obama with her big movement to try to get kids out, and there's the Play 60 with the NFL. But then you have some legislation like what was going on in New York with the whole big gulp drinks. That's not happening. Do you think officials are doing enough?
I don't know if they're doing enough. I still think it comes down to personal choice. You know, with the New York, I find that kind of laughable.
Yeah.
Because if you have a 16-ounce, if you can only buy 16 ounces of pop, why not just buy two or three if you're going to drink them anyways? So you can't, I don't think you can legislate that kind of stuff. And it has to, at some point, come from the individual to, I really need to make the change. You can put out, well, you know, look at Prohibition in the 30s. They tried to legislate that and people found a way around it. It's kind of the same thing. I don't want to compare it to that. But in a sense, it's the same thing with health, is you can make all these laws and people are going to either choose to live healthy or find ways around it.
Do you think it would ever – do you see it at this point in time? It's some people say, I mean, if it gets worse, it can't get any worse than this. Can it – what is the end game? Like, how bad could it get?
I would hate to hypothesize on how bad it could be. Everything could probably get worse. My goal is to catch them young. That's why I love where I teach. I teach eighth graders. And show them, you know, I tell my students that I don't expect to change your mind. I just want to make sure you're an informed consumer. And I show them both sides of each argument when it comes to health. And if you choose this path, this is what you can do. And if you do a minimum, this is what you can do. And so I think that would be a better instance for government to invest in, would be at least give people the informed consumer side and let individuals make the choice.
You're listening to Copper Country Today here with my guest, Jeff Hawsworth. Let's talk about weight loss, maybe not in a general sense, but the idea. Because people, I mean, there's people all over the place that they want to lose weight. How much is it? I mean, I don't want you to put a percentage, but people want to know, is it more of the working out or more eating well?
Depending on, I'll give you a percentage. I read a lot of the science stuff about
this.
This is depending on whose research you read. It's somewhere diet is between 65% and 70% of a person's weight loss or fitness success or failure. You cannot outwork a poor diet. So fitness is a big part of that, obviously, but you cannot justify eating, you know, pizzas and donuts because you went and jogged a mile. So.
But with people who they have this mentality of, because it's mostly based on a calorie counting,
yes.
And some people are just like, well, if I just eat less, I'll be able to lose weight. What kind of truth is to that?
There's a little bit of truth. You know, if you eat less calories than you burn, you're going to lose weight. I believe firmly that calories count. There's that old saying, a calorie is a calorie is a calorie sort of thing. I don't buy that because depending on where your calories come from, are they coming from the whole food, nutritious, whole grain, you know, fruits and vegetables, lean cuts of meat type stuff, or are they coming from the processed, refined, factory-laden? You know, I think that makes a big difference.
And that, I mean, you could tie that into the obesity issue with the fact that so much of the food today is processed.
And that's because it's cheaper. You know, it's there's some great articles. If people do a little research, Google something like eating healthy on a budget, you can find some good stuff. But if you don't kind of self-educate, it can be pretty easy to fall into that trap. You can go to certain restaurants and for a dollar get a double cheeseburger.
A
salad will cost you $2.50 or $3 or whatever. It's kind of crazy, you know.
Yeah.
I just had this discussion with my class the other week. We were talking about soft drinks. And at the local Walmart, nothing against Walmart because they want to make money and whatnot, but there you can buy a 1 liter pop for a dollar.
Yep.
And in that 1 liter, there's, I'm guessing, over 100 grams of sugar. Roughly 4 grams of sugar is 1 teaspoon, so kind of do the math.
That's a lot of sugar. That's a lot of sugar.
And a 20-ounce bottle of water is $1.50.
I usually find the disparity, and it really, really bothers me, with the fruit juices. The best ones where it's 100% juice, no preservatives, and you're talking about $4 or $5 a bottle.
Crazy, crazy. And even the best juices, unless they're... Even read the labels, and all natural and all that stuff really doesn't matter sometimes because of the way the laws are with the Food and Drug Administration. There's still a lot of sugars that will be added to even the all natural ones.
How do you feel about the recent push to get more information on the nutrition labels? That it seems like big corporations are trying to prevent all the stuff that's being added into that. What's your take on that?
I think people have a right to know what they're eating, and there's ways to find out. I don't agree with it, but I can see where, you know, big corporation would want to push back because they don't want to know, you know,
they don't want you to know what's going
on actually eating. Even with that, some people still will choose that because one is cheaper, and you know, the big thing, the rationalization I always get is, oh, but it tastes so good, you know.
But with when people talk about a wholesome diet from Whole Foods, is that even realistic because of just the talk about so much chemicals being used even on farms?
It depends on where you get your food. There are factories, you know, there's a great movie called Food Inc.
I've seen that one.
And it talks about there are factories which basically, even with animals, will just produce mass production of stuff. And then there are actual farms where you can get the good, wholesome, grass-fed kind of stuff. So it all depends on where you look. And I think that's a big part of health is people kind of like we're getting close to the election, you know, whatever. You got to do your own research.
Mm-hmm.
Don't believe what the company's saying, in a sense.
Based on the research that you've done, there's been a lot of dispute about weight loss in terms of genetics. Do you believe there's any tie-in between?
Genetically, we're predisposed to a certain amount of fat cells. You can add to that number based on your diet and how you eat. You can grow more. Once you grow them, they never go away. I think there may be something to that for a very small amount of people.
Mm-hmm.
For a lot of people, it may be some excuse to keep a crutch and keep doing what they do, because change is hard. I'm not gonna lie, change is hard. I know that, you know, forming good habits is hard, getting rid of bad habits is difficult, but sometimes it's just easier to make an excuse than to give it a true effort.
I hate to try to find shortcuts, but is there a way to speed up the weight loss process? There has been talk about, you know, low carb diets, the Atkins diet, this shed these pounds off. From what you've gathered,
Atkins diet, the low carb diet in general, first off, diets in that definition do not work. They may temporarily lose weight. People may lose weight and think, oh, this is great. Eventually, you're going to have to get off of that diet because you're severely restricting or limiting some food group, and you need every day food from every food group. With those low-carb diets, the majority of what you lose really isn't fat. It's water and muscle. So when you get off of that diet, your metabolism is now slower because the more muscle you have, the more lean muscle, the more your metabolism picks up to maintain. It takes about 70 calories in a 24-hour period to maintain 1 pound of lean muscle. And it takes about 2 calories to maintain fat over that 24-hour period. So if you're adding lean muscle, you're naturally going to pick up your metabolism. Well, those diets, when you realistically lose muscle and water and then get off that diet, you have less muscle, so your metabolism's slower. You're going to put fat on easier. So I recommend that a diet in that sense doesn't work. None of that stuff. To me, it's all kind of like voodoo science.
Mm-hmm.
A true diet is what you eat every day. That's what you should count as your diet.
Jumping over to the working out process, what aspects do you think, I don't want to say, you know, I don't want to jump to whole speeding up, but get you better results? What kinds of workouts?
Anything you do that elevates your heart rate, works your muscles, and is done consistently. There are billions of programs, and they're all the greatest mm-hmm. if you read them. But any program that you pick, if you do it, I have my personal faves, and I have some that I would never try. But any exercise program that a person chooses should contain some sort of cardio, get the heart going, some sort of resistance exercise to work the muscles and strengthen the bones, and should be done consistently. You know, people say, well, I work out, you know, once every other week. You're pretty much wasting your time.
You're listening to Copper Country Today here with my guest, Jeff Hawesworth. Let's jump to one of the big subjects about your new book, and it's motivation.
Yes.
And it seems like if there is the main site of the issues, it's about people getting motivated. I don't really want you to oversimplify it or just to give a very basic answer, but I mean, the question still stands, why do some people just lack the motivation to be fit?
I think, and there's probably a million reasons why, this is just my thought.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a vicious circle, or a circle in general, where if you're not exercising, if you're not eating right, you're probably a little more tired than most people. You don't have the energy to exercise, so you probably eat a little more to help pick up your energy, and you're eating from the wrong foods, eating that sugary, refined stuff because it's quick and it's easy, and it does give you a little burst for a little while. But in the long run, it's kind of a bad cycle where, you know, I'm tired, so I can't exercise, so I'm going to eat a little more. That makes me a little more tired. You know, it's breaking that chain. That can also go in the other way where you take it just for a little bit. Okay, I'm going to do this program, or I'm going to get out even if it's just walk 10 minutes a day for a while, and then add to that something to break that chain. And the big thing I think about motivation is going back to what we talked about earlier. We're a now society. We want it instant. And we don't gain weight. We don't get fat overnight. It's not like you went to bed and woke up and said, oh, where'd this extra 25 pounds come from?
Mm-hmm.
We don't lose it that fast either. You don't try this diet. You don't take this pill. You actually have to get out and work and sweat it out. So breaking that cycle is difficult for people because, again, going back to habits, well, it's just easier, you know. But if you can, if trying to turn people, and everybody's a little bit different on what it's going to be to get them to that motivation to where they start to actually do that. But the big thing is any small progress can be motivating. You know, if you get out and you walk 10 or 15 minutes a day where you weren't before, and after a couple of weeks you're feeling a little better. You know, our bodies don't change. You know, it still takes anywhere from 3 to 5 weeks to see real change in the human body, where, like we said, you could send a text message across the country, across the world in 2 seconds. So we haven't caught up to technology physiologically.
For those who seem to be on and off, and I'll put my name in that category, where it seems like they'll, you know, work out for maybe a couple of months and then just stop. And like you said, it just gets into that vicious cycle. What kind of way, like, do you recommend someone just hitting the weights immediately, you know, just to get back to where they were if there was that long period of time?
It's funny you mention that, because I considered myself for many years a part-time fitness guy. And part of my reasoning was whatever I was doing, I just kind of get bored.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing that I find, it's kind of a two-part thing, yes. But the first part for me anyways was to keep mixing it up. Keep challenging yourself. Change it so it doesn't get what they call stale.
Mm-hmm.
And then as far as jumping right back into where you were, no, that's a great way to injure yourself. You know, I mean, if you were a weightlifter and you took a couple months off, you wouldn't want to jump back into your same routine because your muscles wouldn't be used to that and you risk an injury. So it's a kind of a sad reality. It takes, like I mentioned, about 3 to 5 weeks to see any true change in your body. It takes about 4 days to lose it.
That is, that's sometimes disheartening.
Very much, which, you know, kind of when you get to the point where you're quote unquote addicted in a healthy way to fitness, you know, that doesn't happen. But getting there can be difficult.
Your previous book, What Are You Waiting For? And I think it was just about last year?
Roughly a year, two ago, somewhere in there.
So how did it do? What kind of a reaction did you get from that?
I think it did pretty well. It's still, you know, selling, I guess. My goal with writing these books is not to become a millionaire, although I'm not going to complain if that happened. But it's just one other way. I teach health. I try to reach kids. That book was about getting started in weightlifting, and which is a overall fitness thing. Like I'd mentioned earlier, you got to have some sort of resistance training in your fitness life. And that was just one way that I found to reach more people than the kids in my classroom.
And now your new book, Now You Have No Excuses. Tell me, what is different about this book than the previous one?
Now You Have No Excuses was actually inspired by my first book. I had just sent it to the publisher, and they were doing whatever they do to make it a book. I don't know that whole process. But I started thinking, well, there's a lot of people who don't like to go to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of self-conscious about that. Or maybe there's a lot of people who don't have the money for a gym membership, and that's kind of a crutch.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd love to work out, but I don't have – speaking of, I read an article where there was a lady, and I think it was in England, who thinks the government should pay for her gym membership because she has money for Doritos and all that processed food.
Oh, yeah.
But she can't buy a gym membership. So I had to laugh, a little side note. But so this book, I thought about, well, what can I do? How can I reach those people? And I created it's basically an at-home routine. You can do this in a space about 6 foot by 8 foot. You don't need a lot of room. You don't need any special equipment. All you really need to do is want to be motivated to change. So.
And is this, I mean, high intensity? Is this something for youth, or is it something specific for adults? What
I tested this program with, so this was created. I sat down over the course of a couple of weeks, or I think it was about a week, and I thought about, okay, well, how would I do this? How can I do this? So I broke it down into twice a week you're working your upper body and your abs, and twice a week you're working your lower body and your legs. And then I had a group of kids and adults that we would get together 4 times a week, and we would go through this and mm-hmm. tweak this exercise. So it wasn't – this isn't something that I just threw in a book and sent out. This is actually – this has been tested, well, what I would consider tested, by people from, you know, their 50s down to, you know, 8th grade. So, and it's great. It's a body weight workout. You can do a lot of things with just your body weight. It's a great resistance workout. And it's also because you go at kind of a pace where you set the pace, basically. I like to time things with this. It's not like do X amount of push-ups and do X amount of this and X amount of that. It's all mm-hmm. you do this exercise for a minute or for as long as you can within that minute and then move right on to the next one. So it's a circuit workout. And I like it because it'll fit pretty much every fitness level. If you're just starting, you're only going to be able to do so much within that minute. But as you get better and perform, even to the upper echelon of athlete, they're going to get a great challenge from this because obviously they can do more within that minute. So it kind of fits everybody. And age-wise, even preteen could do this type of workout where, you know, they with the resistance training, you want to wait till around puberty because mm-hmm. you don't want to close off growth plates. This is something, you know, body weight workouts can be done by people of any age.
And if people want to get hold of the book?
They can go through. I was very lucky. This book was published by Life Rich Publishing, which is a division of Reader's Digest. So that was kind of cool to be with Reader's Digest. They can go to the liferichpublishing.com website and pick up a copy. There's a link if they go to my website on peacethroughstrengthfitness.com. And it's through the long way, T-H-R-O-U-G-H. So peacethroughstrengthfitness.com or any pretty much .com that sells books.
Alrighty, that'll wrap up this segment. That'll wrap up this segment of Copper Country Today. Mr. Husworth, thank you very much for joining me on today's program.
Thanks for having me, and I'm very much appreciated.
Our program is brought to you in part by the members of the Copper Country Education Association and by the Copper Country Veterinary Clinic, proud supporters of the Copper Country Humane Society and the Kiwanis Spay and Neuter Assistance Group. You can also listen to a podcast of our program by going to the Copper Country Today page at KiwanisReport.com. We'll be right back with more Copper Country Today.